Hey, this is Jamie Waxman, and you are listening to Playgirls Sex Pod on PlayGirlTV.com. So, to start out with a little self-promotion this week, if you can click on Wired.com, you'll find a really nice article about me entitled Swelling Sex Ed Online. I sat down with Regina Lynn, the author of the Sex Drive column on Wired.com last week, and we talked about the growing demand for sex education online and how the internet has played a major role in shaping and changing sex education. And, you know, she asked originally if I thought that the internet did play a large role in changing sexuality, sex education. And of course, there's no way to answer no to that question, because before the internet came about, if you wanted to say you were an adult baby and you wanted to find a place to buy diapers or to find other adult babies in your neighborhood, you wouldn't really know where to look. An adult baby is a fetish where an older person would dress up in diapers. Sometimes they like to get powdered or spanked by their mommies or daddies, I guess. And, you know, small fetishes like this, or just more atypical fetishes, perhaps, those were harder to find. You can't go into a library and ask your reference desk person for a book on deviant desires, although there is a book called that out there, because you might be embarrassed. So, of course, the internet provides a place for anonymity and a place for education and a place to talk and meet people like you or anybody else. So, yes, it's a great article because it's all good about me. And I'd suggest checking it out. You can also read another article, which maybe isn't as positive, but hey, if I'm going to give my press, I might as well give all of Playgirls Press, Jane Magazine, the October issue. Pick it up and write them and tell them why women would pay to see naked men, because that's the question they pose in that article. So again, this is Jamie Waxman. You're listening to Playgirls Sex Pod on PlayGirlTV.com. You can always email me at sexed@playgirlmag.com. Tell me what your thoughts are, anything crazy you've done sexually this weekend. Another question I'm just going to throw out there is for another article I'm writing. What is the best or worst sex you've ever had? Now, again, how can you define sex? Sometimes when I think of my best sexual experiences, they don't actually involve any type of penis-vagina contact whatsoever. They could be experiences where I was holding somebody's hand and the sparks between us were so intense that that was great sex. Granted, there are lots of people who wouldn't consider that sex at all, but that would be one of my best sex experiences. Worst sex experiences, I've been trying to think of these, and I guess the ones that are the worst sex experiences for me are ones where you don't connect to your partner. Ones where I did have an experience once with a lawyer who really wanted to make this a relationship, but one night after sex, we both knew it was really bad. Of course, I was going to be too shy to admit it, but he had no problem stopping and saying, "What do you think is wrong between us? Why is the sex so bad?" And then, you know, once the conversation and the dialogue is open, I'm not going to deny that the sex is really bad at times. And we tried to figure it out. And I thought maybe we should end the relationship there, because if the sex isn't working, then to me, the relationship can't work. But he continued to pursue it for a bit longer. And we tried for a little while longer, but the sex never got better. So that was some of the worst sex I ever had. But he was a really nice guy. So I hate to say that it was such bad sex. Anyway, I figured that today I would delve into something a little bit different, again, going off on major tangents in all different directions. I worked for 4 years at a very well-known sex toy shop here in New York City. It was once called Toys and Babeland. Now it's officially called Babeland. Babeland.com is the website if you want to check them out. But I found that a lot of people don't know what to shop for when looking for sex toys. So what I figured I would do today is just go over some basics on what to look for when you're buying sex toys. What types of materials are out there? What's the difference between a vibrator and a dildo? How do you clean your sex toys? Things like this. So let's just get started with the types of materials out there. There are a number of types of materials for both vibrators and dildos. And of the difference between a vibrator and a dildo is that a vibrator vibrates and a dildo doesn't. Some vibrators you can shove inside of you if you'd like, and others are used mainly for clitoral stimulation or external body stimulation. You can use a good vibrator on the outside of the anus. You can use a good vibrator on the nipples if somebody's really sensitive. Again, on the clitoris, even on the vaginal lips, on the balls or shaft of a man if that's something that he's into. And guys who aren't sure if they're into vibration or are totally turned off by vibration probably haven't tried it. Now, I don't know if I would actually put vibration on the balls immediately or even on the head of the penis because those are really sensitive areas. But to use a finger vibrator like the Fukioko or another little waterproof vibe that you can wear on your fingers, those are good vibrators to start with because they're not offensive. They're not going to scare somebody because you're wearing them on your finger. It's not this large object that's replacing a penis or a tongue or any other body part or any other part of anybody that that they might find, you know, threatening. But it's a good vibrator to start with. So let's go to materials for a minute since I'm jumping around. There are a number of different types of materials out there for vibrators and dildos and other toys that they make, which are like butt plugs and stuff as well. The most common and least expensive material out there is jelly rubber. Jelly rubber is a porous material. It's usually has a smell to it, kind of like a very plasticky smell. I would suggest, because of that smell and because the jelly rubber material contains something called phthalates, and phthalates have been linked to possible cancers in certain studies, and in places like England, they have banned certain phthalates, certain jelly rubbers from children's toys because children put them in their mouth. So if it's not safe to put a phthalate in your mouth, perhaps I would suggest that it's probably not safe to put in your pussy. So I would suggest that because jelly rubber toys are inexpensive and soft, a lot of women like soft, or men too, like soft toys when they're going to go inside of themselves. I would suggest putting a condom over it. Now, a lot of people think this defeats the purpose of a jelly rubber toy or any sex toy. But the truth of the matter is, you're not going to come in the condom. There's not going to be any semen or ejaculate in the condom. So it's not like you have to change the condom every time you use your toy. As long as you wash your toy with some soap and warm water or toy cleaner, which, you know, Playgirl, this is broadcasting on PlayGirlTV.com, I should mention, has its own toy cleaner. But again, you can just use soap and warm water to wash your toys, and that will do just fine. And you can reuse a condom a couple of times because, again, it's just this protective surface over the toy. So you've got your jelly rubber toys. Then you have hard plastic. Hard plastic is my favorite when it comes to a vibrator because hard plastic tends to have the most intense vibrational levels. Hard plastic is easy to clean, again, soap and warm water. It's less porous than jelly rubber, so you don't necessarily need to put a condom on it. And if you're going to hit a G-spot or a prostate, hard plastic is great because what you're doing is you're actually going through a wall of muscle, a wall of spongy tissue. And in order to penetrate through that wall and actually feel that sensation in your G-spot or, you know, on your prostate, it's best to have some sort of harder penetration. Hard plastic, again, if you're going to go for a vibrator with either a hard plastic or a jelly rubber or any of the other materials I'll mention, if you haven't bought a vibrator before, if you haven't purchased one, you want to go with something with multiple speeds. This way you know what you like and what you don't like. Maybe you have a very delicate clitoris and something too intense it numbs you, as opposed to, you know, somebody who likes it really hard, then you have this option. My favorite vibrator is a hard plastic pocket rocket or a small, the Mini Mite is the Playgirl version of the pocket rocket. Something like that is great because it's small. It is a one speed, but it's a really great clitoral stimulator. So you have hard plastic, you have jelly rubber, you have glass. That's another option out there. Those are mainly, I've seen more glass dildos than I have vibrators. But what's great about glass is that if it's Pyrex, you can actually boil it. So glass dildos are another thing. And they also retain temperature, retain heat, retain cold. So you can put it in the fridge and it'll stay cold a little longer. If it's Pyrex and you can boil it, it will come out hot. So you have a variation there as well. There are also metal vibrators, titanium, very expensive vibrators. Then you have the queen material of all materials when it comes to something soft and very hygienic, and that is silicone. Silicone is a non-porous material, and you can boil it, which is really nice, in order to clean it. Throw it in a pot of boiling water for 5 to 10 minutes, and your silicone toy will be sterilized. Now, why would you need to sterilize a silicone toy? Mainly, it helps get rid of hepatitis C, the truth of the matter. You can otherwise just wash your toy with soap and water, and it, again, is non-porous, so you're not getting that, you're not going to have to worry about all of the germs that are in it. But you can boil it every 6 months. You can put it in the top rack of a dishwasher to clean it. So it's a really nice hygienic material when it comes to toys. Tons of dildos are made with this, with silicone. Again, it also retains temperature, retains heat and cold. And the other thing that's nice about it is that the vibration is almost, it's usually a softer vibration than hard plastic, but you'll feel the vibration throughout the entire piece, as opposed to jelly rubber, where you really feel the vibration in the part of the vibrator that the battery pack is operated in. I've been helping Playgirl design a line of sex toys here, and it's the Playgirl Signature Collection. It's coming out right now. Mainly, we have some hard plastic and jelly rubber. We've got one glass toy at this point as well, and I'm hoping to expand to silicone. But you can check out the line through PlaygirlTV.com. And you can also email me, what kind of sex toys are you looking for? There are lots of other toys out there. There are butt plugs as well. A butt plug stays in place mainly when you are engaging in other activities, or people wear butt plugs sometimes around the office for the day, keep it in them for a few hours. What's nice about a butt plug is it stimulates your G-spot or prostate through your butt, and then you also have the front part of your body to stimulate as well. Anything that's going to go up your butt needs to have a flared base, because if it doesn't have a flared base, nothing can get lost in a vagina. The vagina is 3 to 4 inches in length when it's not aroused. When you freak out and think something's up there and it's not coming down, it's because you've tightened up your muscles so much that you freaked out. But you can get anything out of a vagina. The butt's another story. It's like a black hole of sorts at times, and things can get sucked up there if not properly cared for. So again, anything that's going up your butt should have a flared base. I definitely suggest silicone toys for butt stuff, because you don't want to share a butt toy with anybody else. And if you are going to share a butt toy with somebody else, then you want to be able to boil it, sterilize it, so that you aren't carrying on any sort of infections or disease between two people. Nothing should go from the butt to the vagina and then back to the butt, should go from the butt to the vagina, period. Things can go from the vagina to the butt, but they can't go back to the vagina. So this is a really basic sex toys, informational sex podcast. There are so many other toys out there that are great, and I will go into more detail, into more specifics in another podcast. But again, if you're looking to buy sex toys, the basic materials are jelly rubber, which is porous. Hard plastic, still porous, but a better option. I love it for vibration and for penetration, because once it's inside of you, you don't realize that it's hard plastic as much, and it's got that nice way to get to other areas of, like, your into your G-spot or your prostate with going through one opening and getting a nice sensation. You also have silicone. You have glass, titanium, metal. These are all other options for your sex toy pleasure. What toys do you like? And what toys would you like to see? If you could create a toy, what would it do? I think that I've seen toys like this out here, and my ideal toy would be one that not only is for penetration and for clitoral stimulation, but also has a nice little massaging feature to stay on the outside of the butt. Now, if butt play is something that you want to experiment with, again, one of my favorite suggestions, and just to get people into the groove, so to speak, is to arouse with a little vibration. And a finger vibe is a really great non-offensive sex toy when it comes to introducing a sex toy into your relationship. And there are lots of ways to introduce sex toys into your relationship. One of my favorite little suggestions, I gave this years ago, was if you want to introduce a sex toy to your partner, just put it under the pillow at night when you're going to see him or her. And then, you know, let them find it and ask about it, and let them be the one to bring it up. Another thing I should just mention are there are plug-in vibes, versus battery-operated vibrators. And a plug-in vibrator is a lot more powerful. You have your Wall 7-in-1, your Hitachi Magic Wand. A lot of these are and have been, you know, manufactured and advertised as back vibrators. And they do give really good back massages. But these are very powerful vibrators. If you're going to try one of them, I usually suggest, if it's for clitoral stimulation, put a towel in between you and the vibrator so that you have a little bit less sensation going on. Can you get desensitized from a vibrator? Well, it can take longer to orgasm with a partner or with your fingers or with a tongue, for sure. But if you stop using a vibrator for a couple of days, then that all goes away and you can start all over again. Again, I'm Jamie Waxman. This is Playgirl Sex Pod on PlaygirlTV.com. We've talked about sex toys a little bit. We've talked a little bit less about best and worst sex, and even less about the Wired.com article you should check out this week while you can. Swelling Demand for Sex Ed Online. It's about me. And thank you guys for listening to Playgirl Sex Pod. Please email me, sexed@playgirlmag.com. And once again, come again and again and again. Have a great day.